the time, God is awesome. Amen, amen, amen. Oop, wrong one. No wonder I couldn't get it to come down. Too many remotes up here. There's too much going on at one time. Sometimes it can get overwhelming when you got so many things going on. And sometimes people don't see it or understand. It's like I said Sunday about that guy saying the doctor said he should have been up walking by now. And he said, but from the hernia operation, he said, but it hurts. And he said, well, I had it. I know what you're going through. He said, you don't know how I feel. It hurts. And he said, yeah, I do. I had the same operation 4 weeks ago. And he said, I know exactly how you feel. He says, no, you don't. He says, why not? I said, because you had a different doctor than I had. Yes, ma'am. Okay, give it here. That's somebody that was used during the play. Yeah. It's like when Dudley had a heart attack. The morning after he had his knee replaced, he had a heart attack. And then he was up there walking around, out walking everybody, and asked did they want him to go any further. Let's see here. I'll wait for it to come up. Again, I'm used to my beautiful wife always helping me. And when she's not here, yep, I get lost. Let's see here. I'm trying to do something a little different. Trying to keep us from getting burnt out. You know, do shake stuff up sometimes. So here we go. Okay. There it is. So we're going to do something. I'm not even giving you outlines. You just got your outline is going to be your Bible. Okay. And if you look in a pew, you might see a new Bible, a hardback Bible. If you do, it's from the Gideons. The Gideons gave us 25 Bibles. So that's 25 hardback Bibles that for our pews. The blue ones, we got them yesterday, and I come in to put them in. I tried to fill in the empty spots. So they're filling in the empty spots. Yep, they're the Gideon's Bible. And it's the New King James Version. So I can't remember what I asked for, but that's what they brought me in, and that's cool because I like New King James too. New King James is the one you can depend on. There's some things you can't depend on, some translations, but New King James you can. Okay, how many know that Satan? There's two names for Satan that really, and I don't have it up here, but there's two names for Satan that really describe him to a T, and he uses in all of our lives every day if we let him. Deceiver and accuser. Deceiver and accuser. He will deceive you and make you see things different, think things different, and he will also accuse you and say, you're not good enough, God will never really use you, you can't think, blah, 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 or even get you to accuse. So he can get you, he can use you into deceit and the accusing, or he can just deceive and accuse you. And so I'm for the next 2 weeks, he's got some scriptures, and we're going to go back to communication. But I still want to burn us out on communication. So, God, our provider, we're going to go through five scriptures, just five tonight. First we're going to talk about how many here has ever had a need that you could not supply for. Yeah, you got something that you can't do. As a pastor, I know of honestly, not just in here, but in my family and in people that I minister to outside of here, I know hundreds of people or people with hundreds of needs. Let me change it that way. People with hundreds of needs, and a lot of these needs, they can't meet on their own. It's impossible. But that's what's so cool about being a Christian. Because we're a Christian, God said, I love this. Here's a scripture. It says in Genesis 22 and 14, if you got your Bible, look to it, Genesis 22 and 14. Genesis 22 and 14. I'm actually I'll read the whole chapter, but we'll stop there. The Bible says in Genesis 22, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and say unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And remember now when God tempts you or tries you, God does it to cause growth. When Satan tempts you, God does it to bring deceit, to accuse you, and to bring hurt. So one does it to build. God always does it to build up. Satan always does it to tear down. He said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And then Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And the man Abraham said unto the young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He's seeing it as worship because I'm building an altar. He's already said, sacrifice your son. But he says, y'all stay here and we're going to come back. The Bible says in Romans, he already seen his son raised up in a vision. He knew that God could raise him up. And so he said, we're going to go up there, going by ourselves, because I'm going to let you talk me out of this. I'm not going to let you try to influence me, people. Me and God's got something going on here. And so he gets up there. And then he says, that Isaac even clave the wood for the burnt offering. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went there together. Now, he's already telling him, God's gonna make a way where there is no way. He's told me to sacrifice you, and if I have to, God's gonna raise you up. But I believe God's going to take care of it. No matter what, God's going to take care of it. And it came to the place which God told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, I want you to see all the things that's going on here. This is a picture of Calvary. Oh, this is a picture of Calvary. Isaac carried his own wood up a mountain. What's that? Cross. He was bound and put as an offering. Okay? What did the cross do? It bound Jesus. Okay? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took a knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here I am. He said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked and beheld a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And then he says, the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because I have done this thing and has not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessings I will bless thee and multiply, in I will multiply thee, thy stars of the heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thou shalt possess the gates of thine enemy. And thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because I has obeyed my voice. What he did was, when he did this, because he didn't withhold his son, God didn't withhold his. He's sending Jesus. But Jehovah Jireh means God sees and God provides. God sees and God provides. Now, a lot of people see. Have you ever seen people going through something and you wish you could help them and couldn't? A lot of people see, but they can't provide. God sees and God provides. Okay? That's a special thing. So remember now, Satan is a deceiver. He tells you God can't handle that need. How many have had a need before and Satan said, God can't handle that? And you watch God do it. Or the accuser says, you're not worthy to be helped. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't sought God enough. You're not good enough for God to help you. So here it is, the deceiver and the accuser. He's talking to you. What he's trying to do is shift your focus away from God and God being able to take care of you, or to distract you to the point that you don't even hear God talking. So, the Lord will provide. You are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. We need to not let Satan deceive us into believing God can't do it or accuse us, saying that we're not worthy for him to help us. Don't let him shift our focus or distract us from what God has for our life, because all my needs are supplied in God. All of them. Every last one of them. My emotional needs, my physical needs, my spiritual needs. All my needs are met by God. My God shall supply my every need. What does every mean? All of them. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually. God takes my every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So again, God handles all of our needs. Matter of fact, it says, my God will liberally supply, fill to the full your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Wow. How many times have you seen God provide a ram in the thicket for you? But remember, here's what Satan's trying to do. The deceiver says, God can't. That's beyond God. Or you've gone too far. You backed up too much. You haven't given it your all. The accuser says, you're not worthy. Don't let him shift your focus. Don't let him distract you. God can do everything he said he would do. Every time. How many know, look back over and see him? He's done everything he said he would do. Go ahead. Fear, well, not all fear. Some fears of God. God tells us to fear him, but fear him in a way like you fear your father or your mother. But not to fear him like be afraid of him, as in he's gonna come and stomp you down. That's right. Satan, that's Satan. That's Satan again, deceiving and accusing. So when you find yourself in these needs, here's where you have to stop. You have to get these scriptures. You have to hold them tight. You have to hold on to them, because the deceiver, the accuser, is going to try to get you to be filled with fear and get you to get filled with misunderstanding. And he will pop you just as hard as he can pop you. You got to understand, sometimes it hurts. How many times have you been doing things and it pure hurt? You're working for God. You're working for God and it hurts. Because other people, listen, some people are deceived. Some people even let Satan use them as an accuser. And so sometimes, have you ever been talked about? Yeah, you've been talked about because Satan, the accuser, used other people to get to you, because you weren't going to listen to him, so you let other people come in and talk to you and talk about you. And here we go. So the deceiver and accuser, remember, the deceiver and accuser is trying to shift your focus and distract you. Because watch this. I've hurt before. I've done things that I've hurt. Have you ever worked for God and it pure hurt? Okay? There it is. Even if I sow in tears, yet I will reap in joy. And if I should go forth weeping, carrying seed for sowing, I will surely come again with joy, carrying my harvest. Wow. I like it. The whole scripture here, the whole chapter, six verses, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. In other words, when God, in our life, when God turns things around, it's like we were in a dream, because things change. And it's awesome. I've heard today by several people how God, just like that, turned things around in their life. And it was like the problem was totally solved, and the relationships or whatever was going on were like a different relationship. Just like that. Just like that. I like to watch my little grandkids. They try to do it too. And whenever I start snapping, my little grandkids go. they're trying. I think the one that snaps the best right now is Anna Lane. Anna Lane called it the fastest. Amen. All right. She's two. Yeah, the youngest one. She caught on the fastest. And I think Elizabeth might have got it pretty quick. And yeah, okay. So, of course, I kind of leave Sierra out of this, because Sierra is so much older than the rest of them. She's 12, you know, and the rest of them are two eights and a 4 and a 3 and two twos, or two, almost three. Yeah, that's a bunch of them. That one boy, he's 8. That's one boy 8, one girl 8. That's Dylan and Emmy. And then there is Cadence, which she's 6. And her little sister, Sydney, is 4. And then Elizabeth is almost 3. And Elaine's 2. I can't remember their birthdays, though. Don't even ask me that. Hey, when the Lord brought back again the captives who returned to Zion, we were like those who dreamed. It seemed like so unreal. Then with our mouths filled with laughter and our tongues with singing, then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them, and the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Turn to freedom our captivity and restore our fortunes, O Lord, as the streams in the south are restored in the torrents. They who sow in tears shall reap in joy, singing. He who goes forth bearing seed and weeping at kneading his precious supply of grain for sowing shall doubtlessly come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. It hurts. Sometimes working for God hurts. Sometimes holding on to what he says he's going to do hurts. Sometimes standing and believing hurts. Man, it hurts you physically, but it hurts emotionally. Yeah, it'll hurt spiritually. Or you're sitting there holding on, and you got the deceiver trying to tell you, trying to get you to get your mind, trying to shift your focus, trying to distract you, trying to accuse you, or trying to even use you to accuse. You know, and so it's really important that we understand God's going to provide all of our needs, even if we have to cry while we're doing it, even if we hurt, we're one day going to reap in joy. And that's awesome. That is so awesome. Now, next. And remember now, here's the devil. He wants to deceive. He wants to accuse. He wants to distract. He wants us to shift our focus. That is the main thing he wants to do. All right? So now, here's the deceiver again. The deceiver will come at you, and he'll tell you that you're not good enough. You've been too bad. You're not smart enough. You really didn't give God all you had, and so God's not going to give you all that he had, blah, blah, blah. He'll just throw the stuff at you. But the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, because my heart does not condemn me, I have confidence toward God, and whatever I ask I receive of him, because I keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Now, the Bible says that those that are in Christ, there is therefore, if you're in Christ, you're therefore no condemnation. Even though Satan's trying to condemn you, God's not. Hold on to that. There's been times where I said, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, boy, I lost my temper today. You know, not today, literally, but I'm saying this, I lost my temper today. And I want to say, God, I'm not even worthy. I'm a worm. I need to come and climb under the carpet at the altar. Not just at the altar. I need to climb under the carpet at the altar. And God says, you're my child. I love you. I look at Anna Lane when she throws her little fits. You know, it's easy for me now that I don't think I could have had 6 girls. I probably would have jumped off a cliff somewhere. But I had 6 grandchildren that are girls. And so most of the time I don't get them all at one time. If I do, at least I can split them up a little bit. But they get together, I start seeing, you know, they start accusing one another and pointing fingers and, oh, man. Yeah, and then we had an Easter egg hunt on Easter, and all but 2 were there at the Easter egg hunt. And they were accusing each other, stealing each other's eggs and jumping ahead of each other, getting their eggs. And I was thinking, where's that Easter bunny? I'm going to pop him right between the eyes. But that's like DC and Daniel, where DC and Daniel were a piece of cake. Bethany, she took every piece of cake those boys had and stomped it. I mean, she stomped every piece of cake that the boys made, got stomped. Bless her heart. Okay. So now, 1 John 1 John 3. Again, here it is. There's some people out there telling us whatever we ask, God's just going to do it like it's arbitrarily. He's just waiting for us to name off something like, waiter, I want this. That's not how it works. You have to be in God. You have to have confidence in Him. He has confidence in you, but you've also got to obey His orders, because we watchfully obey His orders. Here it is. And beloved, if our consciences, our hearts do not accuse us, if they do not make us guilty and condemn us, we have confidence, complete assurance and boldness before God, and we receive what we ask, whatever we ask, because we watchfully obey His orders, observe His suggestions and injunctions, and follow His plan for us, and habitually practice what is pleasing unto Him. So that right there hits that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, knocks it out the window. Remember, there is therefore no condemnation in God who is in Christ Jesus, so we still can ask Him, and God will take care of us. He may not give us exactly what we want, but He'll definitely give us what we need. And then finally this, because we, and here, look at this little pattern here. The Lord will provide all my needs. I may have to sow in tears, but I'm going to reap in joy. Here's Satan, the deceiver and the accuser, telling me I'm not worthy, and telling me how bad I am, and telling me, look at that person beside you and tell them how bad they are, and you're a deceiver. I mean, you've been deceived. There's all kinds of stuff he tells us, but, you know, and tries to shift our focus and get us distracted. Just go to His Word. Whenever you feel, look, ask God to help you, number one, to know that when Satan is trying to deceive you and when he's trying to accuse you, matter of fact, here's one way you can know he's accusing you. This is a guaranteed no, Satan is accusing you. What did Satan tell Jesus in the wilderness? If thou be the Son of God. Every time. If thou be the Son of God. So, how many times has Satan told you, if you really were a Christian, you wouldn't be like that? If you really were a Christian, you wouldn't be having problems right now. If you really were a Christian, you wouldn't be having, you'd be walking around like brother and sister so-and-so and have what they had, do what they do. If you really be a Christian, if you really were a child of God, this wouldn't be happening. There's the accuser. He's deceiving us. All right? So now, what we have to understand is, the same way, when Satan's trying to talk to us, just block him out. I ask God all the time, Lord, help me see when Satan's trying to deceive me. Help me see when he's trying to accuse me. Help me keep my mind on what you've got me doing, Lord, because I don't have time. Nehemiah said, I don't have time to come off the wall. They kept trying to get him off the wall to have a meeting. The enemy wouldn't have a meeting. The enemy had a meeting with everybody before him, and it had taken 150 years to do what he did in 26 days. 52 total, but at 26 mark, he said, I want to have a meeting with you. Again, you don't have time for this. I have time to listen to the deceiver or the accuser. Don't shift your focus. Don't be distracted. Trust God to do what He said He's going to do. And then here, abounding to every good work. You know, God's called us, and not everybody does the same thing. We're not all called to do the same thing. And just because I'm behind this pulpit doesn't mean I'm going to have a greater reward than anybody in here. You know how God does it? God looks at you. Here's how it works. God gives us all an assignment. And if we fulfill our assignment, we get it. So there might be Billy Graham. You know, Billy Graham, honestly, Billy Graham may not get any bigger reward than somebody sitting in here. Because if God gave him that anointing and set it up for him, then he's only following God's will and following the plan. So does it make him any better than us? Nope. Not if we follow the plan. And there's going to be, you know, I like it. I heard that joke about Brother John Dewright, the preacher, the pastor of the First Church of the Evangelical Christians who never do any wrong. He died and he stand up in heaven and he stand up in his suit, and up in front of him is a guy in a pair of Bermuda shorts and a colored and flowered t-shirt, wearing a hat, kind of dingy. And so St. Peter looks over and says, who's this? He says, my name... My name's Slim. He said, Slim, come on into the joys of the Lord. And he said, look at here. And Slim got a beautiful golden robe. A white robe with golden tassels. And he took him to his mansion. It was just the most beautiful mansion. There's over at Brother John Duguid from the Church of the Evangelical Christian Do No Wrong. And he comes up to him and gives him a sweater. And gives him a little wooden house. And little John Duguid said, I don't understand this. I've preached your word for years. And this guy, look at him. I'm not even sure what he does. He said, look, well, how come he's got all this and I don't have anything? He said, well, Slim there was a taxi cab driver. And said, you were a pastor. And he says, we go by results up here. And he said, the whole time Slim was driving, people were praying. He said, the whole time you were preaching, people were sleeping. So remember, don't think because you're not a preacher or you're not doing this or that, or you see somebody, God said some are going to have one. They're going to give one talent. They're going to have one talent return. Some will have two talent returns. Some are going to have a five talent return. Okay? So, and to whom much is given, much is expected. So, you know, there's some folks that hide their talent. They sit there for years, never use their talent. They just sit in it and think, well, I don't need, as long as I don't tell anybody, then I'm not going to be held responsible. Well, God knows. And so these people that set back on it, they're going to be in trouble because they're going to ruin their reward. But the people that do the best of their ability to do what they believe God's called them to do and what God's called them to do, that's how God works. And so Billy Graham may be here and some lady who can never do anything but give $2 a month to missions and sit in church and just amen the preacher till he about kills himself because she's got him fired up going, amen, amen, amen. She's here and he's there. See? You know what I'm saying? So that's what God works by. So don't ever think that these guys on television got us beat. Okay? Don't think because I'm up here I got a greater reward than you. You do what God showed you, and you're going to be. But here it is. Watch this. People think this always is talking about money. This is not. It's got money involved, but it's not all money. Because I sow bountifully, I will also reap bountifully. I give according to what I have determined in my heart, not grudgingly and under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, it is talking about money in the general aspect or direct aspect, but in general also, if I sow, because you watch this, it says, God is able to make all grace abound unto me so that I always have all I need, whatever I need, so it may abound to every good work. Whatever I sow, that's what I'm going to reap. So watch this. If I sow joy, I'm going to reap joy. If you sow madness, you're going to reap madness. And so you have to watch. If somebody comes to you and you don't like what they're sowing, don't throw it back to them. Throw what you think. Throw some joy. I've many a time gone to somebody and you can tell they've had a bad day and I just laugh. Sometimes it's dangerous. But I just laugh and they go, why are you laughing? And I go, because God's got this. You know. So again, what do you want? What do you want God to do for you? If you need more joy, if you need more people being joyful to you, then you need to show more joy. You know, it's amazing how people will sit back and think everybody's, you know, I've seen people actually, I told you last week, I've seen some people just last week, don't go here, it was somewhere else. But this person said they weren't going to say anything because that person weren't talking to them. And I talked to that person and said they were just bent out of their frame because this person wouldn't talk to them, so they didn't talk to them. And I found out if they just talked to each other, they'd have found that out and everything would have been fine. They'd have had a good time. But instead, everything was ruined. You know, so again, so if you want happiness, sow happiness. If you want joy, sow joy. God said, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. If you want to be understood, sow understanding. That's right. That's right. So this is all for tonight. We're going to pray. But is there any questions? Just remember, he's a deceiver and accuser. He's going to try to take this away from you. We'll finish it up next week. Then we'll go back into communication. I did it Sunday night, and actually I enjoyed it. You know, of course you don't have outlines, but you got the Bible. Write it down. Write down these things. Because sometimes I think you get the outline and it makes you lazy. Especially when you pass out outlines, you come here the next day and they're laying in the seats. So I know they're not even being, you know what I'm saying? So I said, okay, well then what I'll do is I'll do this. And of course, when we go back to communication, I will go back to some outlines. But again, this is important, very important, that we understand God is our provider. Amen? Let's pray. Father, this night is your night. We are yours. Father, we belong to you. No matter what Satan says, he's a deceiver and he's an accuser. He would like to tell us that God doesn't have it, or that God's not able, or he wants to tell us that we are in a position where we don't even deserve it. Lord, I ask you right now, Father, to touch and anoint, Father, in a very powerful way, Lord, each and every one of us right now. Help us, God, to understand when Satan's trying to deceive us, when Satan's trying to accuse us, when he's trying to use us to accuse others, Lord, or deceive others. Lord, help us understand that you definitely will provide. You provide all of our needs. There's going to come a time we have to sow in tears, but we will reap in joy. We can have confidence towards you and know that we can abound in every good work. And whatever we sow, that's what we reap. If we, whatever we need, sow it. And we'll see God. God said it. Whatever you need, sow it. Sow it. And watch God bless it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I did tell this, I told this illustration one time before. There was a man walking through the desert, and there was a pump. And the pump wouldn't work, and it had a sign pointing down to the compartment under the pump. He looks and he sees a pitcher of water, and the pitcher of water says, use this to prime the pump. He was so thirsty, he drank it. He died of thirst. If he had taken that water and primed the pump instead of drinking it, he could get all he wanted. And I remember going, I had a businessman one time. He was getting ready to sell his business, and the Lord gave me this to give to him, and I gave it to him. And he didn't sell his business, and God blessed him bountifully. And he come back, he thanked me. Every time he saw me, he says, not me, buddy, don't thank me. And I told him, I said, I pulled him to the side, and I said, he said, what's going on here? What do I need to be doing? And I just told him this, don't eat your seed. And he said, what are you talking about? I said, don't eat your seed. Because if you eat your seed, it's like that pump. The seed primes and you got more stuff. It flourishes. But if you eat your seed, you've got nothing for harvest. Don't. Well, it even said there was a note underneath it saying, leave a pitcher for the next person. I left that out, but he couldn't leave a pitcher for the next person. He was dead. Died of thirst. But if you eat your seed, then you have no harvest. Because your seed's not been sown, it's been withheld. So if somebody needs joy and they don't sow it, they're not going to reap it. Even in financial blessings, if you find a way to sow, then God will bless. If you're miserable, if you can find a way to sow peace, it'll come back to you. But if you eat your seed, you've had it. And like I said, that guy, I even forgot about it. Hadn't seen the guy in a couple of years. And the guy came up to me and he said, man, I'm so glad I listened. And I said, listen to what? And he said, don't eat your seed. He was going to eat his seed and he would be without. All I said was what the Lord told me to tell him, don't eat your seed. I really didn't know exactly all that entailed, but he did. Because when I told him, he went, there you go. And he kept that business and he still has that business. But he's told me, I don't know how many times, he said, man, if I'd ate my seed, I'd be in big trouble right now. That's right. That's good, sister. That's honest. I mean, that's awesome. That is so awesome. In any situation you're in, figure out what seeds you don't need to eat. Matter of fact, I don't eat. Well, I do eat sunflower seeds, but I don't plan on sowing them. That's right. So what it is what you need, What you need, you sow. If you need understanding, be an understanding person. If you need friends, be a friendly person. That's what the Bible says. If a man wants to have friends, he needs to show himself friendly. Whatever it is you need, you be it first. And it comes back to you. You try walking up. I used to do this all the time. I'd walk through the mall when they had one in Washington. I was learning these principles. And I'd walk through the mall. I'd walk through this side and I'd go, watch this. I'm not kidding. I'd walk like this. I'd walk slow and I'd go. And I'd watch the people. They would look at me and they were going. And they'd go. Yeah, and wiped all the smiles off their face. Then I'd go down the other side and I'd go. And I see people going. And they go. I'm telling you, people reflect what they see. And sometimes, and I'm going to tell you something else now. I told this to my boys. They didn't like it. I mean, they got mad. I used to tell them this all the time. Now they're telling their kids this, which I think is pretty cool. They say, I don't like the way they looked at me. And I'd say, well, Daniel, how'd you look at him? Yeah. Deesha said, they had the snottiest attitude. And I said, wipe your own nose there, bro. And he goes, I don't understand. I said, you are a mirror. And when you see people, many times that the people will reflect what they see. So if you come up to them like this, and you're soft and you're gentle and you're full of joy, you're going to get it back. You may not get it back immediately, but you will get it back even with that person. Because I've seen some people, they told me, that person will not talk to anybody. That person is so mean. That person is as mean as a rattlesnake. And after being around a little while, they're joking and cutting and carrying on and having a good time. So I said, how'd you do that? It weren't me. It was God. But what I do is I didn't eat my seed. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's not easy. Oh, yeah, but see, here it goes. Sowing in tears, reaping in joy. It's not always easy. You can ask God to show you. Don't. You ain't got to be taken advantage of. I mean, you don't have to be. But God didn't say you to be taken advantage of, but God did say, what you sow, you're going to reap. That's right. You discern because, remember, Satan is the deceiver and the accuser. I've even looked. I've been fighting with somebody before, and I go, you want to really make somebody mad. I'm going to tell you what really makes them mad is when you go, get thee behind me. Oh, man. Yeah. It is so funny. But here you go. That's up. Me and Stanley Griffin, his mama goes to Senior Saints. Stanley Griffin, he came here. He lives in Greensboro, but he stayed with me for about a week after the hurricane to help his mama. He came here one Tuesday night. Me and him, we used to love this. We'd go to Clark's in New Bern. Y'all remember Clark's? We'd go to Clark's in New Bern, and we'd come out and he said, are you ready? And I said, I'm ready. And we start doing this. And we'd count how many people would come out and they'd start going. It was fun. We loved it. It was a good game. We played that game all the time. I was surprised we didn't get killed. No, we never stayed around much. We tried to. We had enough sense not to stay around. But it's fun. It is so fun to do. We're a joyful crowd. That's right. Because we're sowing joy. That's right. And so remember, now look, when you remember Sunday, think about this. When you come in, there's going to be people that are hurting, people that really need joy, they need God to do something for them. If they see you going, then they're going to keep right on going. Let's see you going. How you doing? Glad to meet you. Who's, what's your name? Or if you know him, come on, come sit with me. Ooh, it's going to be good today. And part two of the F-bomb is you know, look, Linda, I'm going to tell you what Linda did. Somebody stole her hubcap. And her and Sister Jeanette both have these hubcaps that you actually have to pry. You have to pry this cap off, and then you have to take a lug nut to loosen them. Okay, so somebody stole Sister Jeanette's hubcap. And so Linda, when I first came up and saw, Linda's was a back one, and Sister Jeanette was a front one. The first time I saw Sister Jeanette in the parking lot without a front one, I asked Linda, had she found her one? Had she gone out during the service and taken Sister Jeanette's hubcap? And Linda said, no, Linda didn't do that. So Linda's riding around with one hubcap off, and so she got these hubcaps. I put them on for Sunday before I came to church. And she wrote on Facebook, she said to the person that stole my hubcap, I hope you enjoy it. And by the way, bam! She showed it to me. So whoever's on Facebook going, bam! The world is bam. So we're going to talk about bam chapter 2 this Sunday. It was actually a joyful sermon. It really was. One of the most joyful sermons I've ever been in when it's talking about forgiveness. Okay. But we're going to tell the nuts and bolts of how to forgive coming up. But what I was going to tell you is when you come in Sunday, just come in expecting, come in believing, and you might have to have a bunch of bams in your life, but that's okay. Let the bams roll. Amen. And we'll finish this up next week. There's five more scriptures that we're going to talk about. Five more. And we'll talk about them next week. So y'all ready? God's awesome. All the time. God's awesome. Y'all pray for my wife. She's in Waco, Texas. She did not want to go. She tried to avoid it, but she couldn't get out of it this time. And so, but then when she landed, she thought Waco, she did write me and say, you know, I thought Waco would be a desert. She said, this is as pretty as Virginia. Virginia, yes, ma'am. She's from Virginia. She always talks about how pretty Virginia is. And she told me earlier today, she said, Waco was just as pretty as Virginia. Yeah, well, she said, that's what she had a picture. She said, it's not. She said, it's beautiful. She said, she wouldn't stop and pick flowers, but she didn't want to get arrested. Go to Texas and get arrested for picking flowers. Amen. Yes, ma'am. So we are ready. Lord, bless us. Every one of us. Well, bless us all. Everyone. I got to quit looking at that.